Hello, everyone, and welcome to We Have Spoken, the nerd podcast of nerddom, of things nerdy.
Is that where we're going with it now?
I don't know. That's just
nerd podcast.
That's where I'm rolling with it. It's nerd stuff we talk about, I guess, or yeah. Pop culture things.
Yeah.
Whatever. Michael Grimion, Chuck P, back with you for another recap of The Falcon and Winter Soldier. This week's episode entitled The Whole World is Watching. Episode 4. We only got 2 episodes left of this show.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. They fucking ratcheted this shit up a big notch with this episode.
They kicked it up to 11.
11.
For sure. So let's just jump right into it because there's a lot of stuff to unpack in here. The opening scene of this episode takes us to Wakanda. And it's 6 years ago, so it's...
The old flashback scene.
It's before the blip. It's like right the year before the blip or whatever, because the blip is 5 years. So 6 years ago, Bucky is in Wakanda, as we know, trying to deal with getting deprogrammed from the Winter Soldier...
Programming,
yes. That's the way to put that.
And there ain't no other really way to put it.
He's sitting by a campfire, and Io from the Dora Milaje, one of Black Panther's bodyguards. I think she's like in charge of it.
They're the elite guard.
She's talking with him, and you can tell that Bucky is like super nervous, like really scared because something's about to go down. And she's like, I promise I won't let you hurt anyone. And she starts running off the list of words.
The trigger words.
That trigger the Winter Soldier. And you can see, as she's saying this, Bucky is like, he's trying to fight it. He is trying not to let that that switch flip in his brain that makes him the Winter Soldier.
I don't know if it's so much that he's trying to fight it as he's trying not to be, like, okay, so part of me feels like he's kind of trying to play it almost like he's not optimistic. He doesn't want to get his hopes up, right? This is just going to be another failure. He's still going to be this machine, you know, this defective machine that somebody can reset and restart. And then as the words are going by longer and further, and it's not changing him, I think you see him start to realize that it might finally be over.
Yeah, I mean, he mentions that Io and Shuri have been helping him. So this has been a process since he got into Wakanda to deprogram him. Right. And this might be like maybe they were doing some things and they never said that list of words yet. And like this was going to be the test to show if this works, if he doesn't switch on to the Winter Soldier, then he's cured.
Yeah, I would have to think so because he would have if it had failed before, he would have said, you know, this didn't work last time and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this had to be like
a build-up,
final exam kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
She recites the words, and sure enough, he is able to control it. And she tells him, you're free. You're finally free. And I've got to say, that was a two-and-a-half-minute scene, that was a powerful scene.
Very emotional moment.
Anyone doubting Sebastian Stan's acting abilities, he sells it right there in that moment.
Well, you know, God, we've said this so many times. This character has been through so much.
Yeah.
So much. Yeah, he can finally live his own life. Now, at the time, he didn't know that, you know, intergalactic war was about to come
exactly.
Grab him up, but... This was his, you know, him getting his life back. And that's, I don't know, it's hard for me or anybody, I think, to really grasp that. But you see that exhale of, you know, that weight that was on him and it's gone. And,
yeah.
And he's just like, you know, yeah, he's still got a lot of trauma and he's still got a lot of issues and he's still working with him. But that fear, the fear of somebody turning him back into that machine is gone. And that's a huge deal, man. Huge. What a scene.
I mean, he just breaks down. He's just like mentally and physically exhausted from that whole process and just so happy that he doesn't have to worry about that anymore. He can go out into the world and, you know, try to start a life.
Absolutely.
So we cut from that scene back to the alleyway scene where Io shows up to tell him that she is there for Zemo. He's telling her that he is a means to an end, trying to figure out everything that's going on with the Flag Smashers. So she tells him that she will give Bucky 8 hours to do whatever he needs to do with Zemo, and then she's coming for him.
That is not an empty threat.
No, that is definitely not an empty threat.
That is a promise.
There's a lot of, I guess you can say, ticking clocks, I guess, in this episode. You've got the counter going on for the Dora Milaje coming to get Zemo. You've got the counter going on for Sam and Bucky trying to find out information to get to Carly. You've got fake Cap and...
Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch and Battlejack over there trying to trying to figure out what they need to do. Try to find Bucky and Sam so they can get a lead on where the Flag Smashers are. So there's a lot of countdowns going on in this episode. Carly's profile is kind of blowing up after they bombed that facility in the last episode. It's all over the news. They're threatening to, like, if they don't, they have a list of demands. If you don't give us these demands, there's going to be more casualties. And they're discussing this once Bucky gets back to the Zemo's hideout, telling him and Sam what's going on. And Zemo's got an interesting monologue that he starts talking about, where he compares the Flag Smashers and Carly specifically to a supremacist, saying that nothing good has come out of this super soldier serum. It started with the Nazis, it led to Ultron, the Avengers. Cap is the only positive thing to come out of this. The original Cap, Captain Steve Rogers.
Right.
But the truth is, like, Sam and, to me anyway, Sam and Bucky both feel like they're incapable of carrying that mantle. Obviously, Sam gives it up. He doesn't think he's right for it. Bucky was unsure of himself, even though Cap tried, you know, Cap believed in him, but he just wasn't. He thinks he wouldn't have been any better in that role. So, but the fact that Zemo compares that group to, like, supremacist, I thought was just an interesting, considering the times that we're living in now with everything that's been going on with our last president and all that stuff. We're not getting political with it.
No.
But the overarching theme on this show is definitely race. That is a big thing.
Yes. I don't think that this is a racial supremacy, though.
No.
I think his point is that those who seek out this power are not seeking it out for good reasons. And that the only type of person who would knowingly take this serum is somebody who has an agenda. And that agenda is usually going to lead them to be like my way or the highway, which is a supremacy mindset, which is a control. You know, we think about supremacy in terms of race, but in this instance, it's in terms of power.
Yeah.
And, you know, more often than not, you know, race and power are intertwined. But this is about just the type of person who would take that drug. And he asks him, he goes, you know, he says, well, Steve Rogers, he goes, one man.
Yeah.
Right. And he didn't even really know what he was getting.
No.
It was a pure experiment at that point. So, you know, then he says, well, what do you think about Bucky? Because Bucky's got it too, you know. So this is where, like, to this point, Zemo's been helping them, but he had his agenda, you could tell. Sure. But he was kind of like playing along with it. And it looked like he was almost sort of kind of having fun.
Yeah.
And then when Bucky comes back and says, you know, the Dora Milaje is here and they're coming for you in 8 hours. And he goes, so in 8 hours, you're going to feed me to the wolves, essentially.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah.
And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So whether he thought he was actually in any way like partnering with them in anything other than just like in, you know, like an end game scenario, I'm sure that it all for him is all one long lead up to, you know, not being in jail anymore and making his escape. But for the time being, it looked like he was kind of part of the group
for a minute. Yeah, it did seem like
and
that.
And then, man, nope,
no, not at all. So they're having a conversation about trying to figure out where Carly could be. How could they find her? And Sam brings up a story about his TT.
TT,
like what is a TT?
Aunt.
Yeah,
TT, Aunt.
So he talked about how when his aunt died, there was a big like a celebration of her life, basically, and for her. And maybe they were doing something like that for Danya Maldani. So let's see if we can, like, go snoop around here and see if we can find something. So they end up this one spot.
A lot of kids
playing around and stuff. Sam's like, I'm going to go upstairs and get a better look. Keep, like, kind of watch out for Zemo or whatever. And Zemo's like, I promise I won't interfere with anything. And we know he's definitely going to interfere with something.
Yeah, he's going to.
So Sam goes upstairs and has a little talk with Sharon Carter, reaches out to her and basically asks her to be his eyes and ears. And, like, just if you hear anything, like, let me know. Like, kind of get access to some satellites. She said she still has capabilities to. She lets him know that the power broker is pissed. He's not happy about this.
I'm still not 100% positive that she's not the power broker. I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories about, like,
who. Long con, man.
Yeah,
but
a lot of people think Zemo could be the power broker as well. I mean,
nah.
But no, because, like, he wants the serum destroyed. The power broker wants the serum to use.
Right.
So exactly. It can't be Zemo.
Yeah, no. And it's probably not Sharon either, but I just can't help but
think. It's the Mandarin. It's the Mandarin.
What a twist.
Yeah, what a twist. So she tells him all this information. He wants the serum back. We learn that Carly still has the serum. It's hidden at the gravesite of one of the guys that's with her. It's his grandfather, I think he said, that fought in the war. And he tells, like, I grew up idolizing Captain America. Like, he fought for truth and freedom and all that. And she's like, that symbol, that shield needs to be destroyed. Like, it's outdated. It's from a bygone era or whatever. So she takes the remaining vials of the Super Soldier Serum, and they take off. Meanwhile, back where Sam and Bucky and Zemo are, Zemo starts singing nursery rhymes.
Creepy.
Creepy as hell. To these kids that are hanging out there, breaks out a bag of the Turkish Delight candies he had back in his hideout, starts talking to this one little girl, saying that his friend, Danya, passed recently, and he wanted to where could he go to pay his respects. So the little girl ends up telling him. Bucky's watching the whole thing go down, like, what the hell is going on? Sam finally comes down from where he's at, and before Zemo leaves the kids, he tells the little girl, see those two men over there, they can't be trusted, this is our secret. So walks back towards them. As they're leaving there, here come Captain Crunch and Battlejack walking down the street.
Applejack.
That's what I'm calling him from now on.
Battlejack.
So they're like, you know, we need information. You guys got to tell us what's going on. We know where Carly might be with this Danya's, her, you know, the funeral or whatever and stuff. Like, Zemo tells him, like, I know where she could be. I have an informant.
Well, he comes rolling in there like, I'm arresting everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, way to be a dipshit. So. Zemo's like, look, there's my informant. And Walker's like, what the hell's going on? Like, they follow, and you could tell they're just like,
you missed the scene.
No, we hadn't got to that scene yet. You talking about back in the hideout with Dora Milaje?
Yeah.
No, because they do this scene, and that's when Walker and Hoskins show up there, and that's when the Dora Milaje show up. They do this first.
When they follow that girl.
Yeah, they follow the girl to...
To the,
that's what I'm getting to. With the place where.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about the Zemo apartment.
Yeah,
I know what
you're
talking about.
I got it flipped.
Yeah,
I got it flipped.
So yeah, they follow the girl to where Carly's going to be, and Captain Crunch is ready to go in there and just bust heads and arrest. And Sam's like, "Look, I've dealt with this kind of stuff before. Let me go in. Give me 10 minutes." 10 minutes and let me talk to her. So John's like, all right, I'll give you 10 minutes. They handcuff Zemo to like a boiler or something. Sam goes in there and Carly is kind of giving
a eulogy
for Danya, and she notices Sam up in the balcony area. So everyone pays their respects. They go out. Sam comes down. He starts talking with Carly, and you could see the connections being made. He understands what she's doing. He gets it.
Sure.
It's just the way she's doing it is not the right way to do it.
He told her, he says, I am with your ideals.
Yes.
I am not with the execution of your plan.
Exactly.
And he didn't show up in gear. You know, he didn't have his wings. He didn't have any gear on. It was just him. He didn't interrupt. He allowed, you know, not allowed, but he didn't go down there and make a scene in the middle of the service for, you know, for this woman. Because if he had, they'd all just killed him. And he waited and waited until everybody was gone, and then he came out and he approached her only to a point, and then stopped and just started talking. And as they talked, it was like calming down a dog that's barking at you. You know? And slowly you talk to him and get a little bit closer and a little bit closer, and he's making progress. And then
dipshit shows up.
Crunchberry.
Carly Morgan, now you're under arrest. So automatically she thinks, oh, you've set me up.
Right.
You've been distracting me. So this asshole can come in.
Wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, absolutely. That'd be your first thought. So he comes in, she guns blazing or whatever. There's a skirmish. She gets away. Everyone tries to go after her because at that point everybody's in the room except for Zemo, who they show handcuffs empty. He has escaped. He's gotten out of there. So Carly is taken off running, goes down to like a basement area or something, it looks like, comes around a corner, there's Zemo with a gun. He shoots her. She tries to take off running. Now, she gets hit, but because of the super soldier serum, she can heal quickly. Well,
she's still hurt.
She's still hurt, for sure, yeah. Just because you have the super soldier serum, it doesn't make you invulnerable. You're still, you know, there's chances you can die.
Yeah.
So she takes off, dives over a table, and when she does, the satchel that she had around her waist with the super soldier serum comes off, vials all over the floor. Zemo comes, firing the gun still, trying to get her, and he looks down and notices the vials, and he picks one up, and he's like, is this what I think it is? And you can see the panic looked on her face. She's like, oh, shit, this is all we have. Zemo's like, I'm fucking ending this right now, and proceeds to stomp on every vial that's on the floor.
That he can see.
And before he can finish doing his little safety dance on the vials, he gets a shield to the head. Like, remember boot to the head?
I do.
Shield to the head.
Boot to the head.
So he gets hit. During the time he's stomping, Carly escapes. She gets out of there. Walker shows up, smacks Zemo in the head, knocks him out. He walks up looking around, seeing all the vials smashed, but he kind of looks over to his right, and there's one fucking vial.
You knew it.
Happened to roll off.
You knew it.
Yeah.
You knew it.
Yep.
What did we say? We said this fucker was going to find a way to get his hands on it, and he was going to take it himself.
Yeah.
We knew it. But see, I feel like the fight with the Dormilaje happened before this. Because
no, because if you remember, Zemo was on the couch with a towel on his head because he got whopped in the head by the shield.
Because for some reason I thought like he took it afterwards, after, you know, because he had gotten his ass kicked.
No, he took it. It was before. So
he it wasn't before, but it was after.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So so Walker picks up the vial, puts it in one of his little pouches on his little suit.
Utility belt.
Whatever. Then it cuts back to Zemo's hideout, where Zemo's on the couch with the towel on his head, because
he obviously
has a fucking headache. Sam's looking up some stuff online, trying to find out what, you know, if he could figure out where Carly went, or he's sending Sharon a message. That's what he's doing. He's sending Sharon a message. And Zemo asked if he was ever offered the super soldier serum. And he says no. And he goes, if you would have been offered it, would you take it? And he turned to him again. He said no. And Zemo's like, no hesitation. I like that. Because that's not who Sam is. Sam wouldn't need that. So one thing before I get to where Captain Crunch and Battlejack walk into the damn hideout, if you know, and I noticed this on the second time I watched it, when Walker and Hoskins show up when they're walking to go to where Danya's service is, if you notice in the background, everybody on the street that's walking by has taken out their camera, their phone, and they're filming him.
Well, yeah, because it's Captain America.
But it plays into the end of it.
Well, I know.
And the title,
but also
the whole world is watching.
This is the world we live in now.
Yeah, for sure. But I noticed that on the second time around. I'm like, every time he shows up, the phones are out and people are filming him. I'm like, okay, all right, I get it.
Well, he's wearing a fucking superhero costume.
Yeah. What the fuck is this? Yeah.
Walking around with that shield.
We hadn't seen many of these people in a while. So Bucky comes back in, and he's like, the Dormilaje could be right outside this fucking door, and it could come in at any minute and get your ass. Zemo seems unfazed by it. And then in comes Dipshit and his partner, and they're like, we're fucking taking Zemo. This is bullshit. And then Sam's like, look, dude, the only thing you're running in here is your mouth. You ain't running the show here. So then Walker gets a bit of a fucking attitude with Sam, and is like, oh, you want to go? Like, you want me to put the shield down and make this fair? And Sam's like, motherfucker. Like, and then out of nowhere, a fucking spear comes in there, in walks the goddamn badass Dora Milaje.
Badass.
And Walker thinks, oh, I'm gonna impress them. Oh, I'm John Walker. Nice to meet you.
Captain America.
They look super unimpressed.
Extraordinarily unimpressed.
Io's like, I don't care if he's a means to an end or not. Your time is up, Bucky. Like, I'm here for this dude.
She keeps calling him the wolf.
The wolf. White wolf. I like it.
Yeah.
And Walker's like, the Dora Milaje didn't have any jurisdiction here. And Io quickly points out to him, the Dora Milaje has jurisdiction wherever the Dora Milaje is. Like, wherever we are, we're running shit.
Yes.
So then he makes the really dumb decision of trying to put his hand on her shoulder.
Nope.
And that's when the butt whipping commences.
Wrong.
They start beating the shit out of him and Hoskins, whipping these dudes up like fucking.
They all got the Beskar spear.
You know, those things of vibranium. That's vibranium spear. I know, spears. Vibranium, you know, spear.
No. I mean, it's just a joke. But man, they are slick. I mean, just so much fun. What a great scene. And Buggy's like, looking good there.
Yeah. Sam's like, yeah. We should probably do something. Buggy's like, looking good, John. Nice job, you prick. So then when one of them gets John down on the ground and he's going for the spear, Bucky interferes.
Right.
And stops the Dora Milaje from, like,
killing him. Yeah.
So they all get into a fight. Sam gets involved as well. Bucky's trying to stop Io. And then all of a sudden, Io's fighting him and just starts tapping his shoulder in these weird little spots. And then the next thing you know, his fucking arm falls off. I was like, what the fuck? And by means arm, his robotic arm, not his real arm.
I thought it was the 5-point palm exploding heart technique. Dude,
right? I was like, and he's just as shocked as everyone else. And then finally, Zemo sneaks out at that point. Right. They go to find him. They go in the room where he went. He done fucking took an El Chapo, as Sam says, and goes down the fucking sewers to get out. They end up taking off, and Bucky's just standing there, like, picking up his arm. And Sam's like, did you know they could do that? And he was like, no.
Yeah.
Puts his arm back on, just that little the arm thing.
I mean, it is a vibranium arm.
Yeah. And you got to think,
it's their technology.
Yeah, it's Wakanda technology. They know how to disable it if need be.
But that's the whole point. And that goes back to the whole thing where she said, I won't let you hurt anyone. You know, I don't know that he had the arm at that point. He probably didn't. But it's sort of like, you know, a built-in protection in case some terrible thing happened and he got loose or, you know, started hurting people again.
Yeah.
They could at least eliminate that part of it. So, anyway. Yeah, it was fun watching them kick the shit out of him.
Yeah. And then, like, Hoskins gets up and goes over there and he's like, are you okay? Like, he's saying, well, you're all right, bro. And he's just like, they're
not even super soldiers.
They're not even super soldiers. That just goes to show you, bro, you're not as bad as you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets
he's
up.
Feeling, and, he's yeah. all up in his feelings.
Oh, yeah. And, like, Sam walks out the room, and Sam's just looking at him like, dipshit. Like, you do not deserve that fucking shield. So they take off, and they show a scene where, like, John and Hoskins are at, a food court or something, just kind of hanging out and talking about what the hell just happened. Walker asked Hoskins, like, would you have taken the super soldier serum?
If you had an option, would you take it? And he's like, hell yeah.
He's like, think of all the lives we could have saved back, you know, whenever.
Yeah, they haven't really told what happened, but, you know.
They must have lost a platoon.
They lost a lot of people, and you know, that survivor's guilt thing. You know, you get those awards and stuff for making it out when your friends and, you know, fellow soldiers didn't. And I think a lot of guys that are in military or in any kind of service, they get that kind of deal where, you know, they might have saved a few, but they can only think about the ones that they lost.
Yeah. So Lamar asked John a question. It's kind of a big question when he says, when they were talking about the super soldier serum, he says, power just makes a person more themselves, right? And that's basically what Erskine tells Steve Rogers, like, the serum just enhances who you are inside. Steve Rogers was a guy that just wanted to look out for the little guy. He always wanted to fight the bad guys. He's just a positive person. And just like, there's no bad bone in Steve Rogers' body. That's why he became such a perfect
icon.
Yeah. That's why he's only been the only one to come out like that. And you can tell when they show Walker's face, he's going to take, we know he's got the serum. You know he's going to take it. And we already know if it's bringing out the person that's inside him, we know what a piece of shit this dude is already.
I don't think it's any kind of side effect of the serum that changes your personality and makes you worse.
It just enhances it.
No. I think the point that is being made is power of any kind.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So power of any kind given to anyone over other people,
yeah,
is going to enforce who that person is. So if they were already somebody who was kind of a borderline asshole and user or whatever, and then you give them power that prevents them from really having to worry about a lot of consequences. So once you take those consequences out, well, what's stopping them from being worse, right? So that's kind of the mindset that I think is coming from the whole concept of it. It's not that, you know, it's some sort of magical response or some sort of chemical response. It's just you are freed from the basic chains,
yeah,
that holds us together as a society. You become something different, whether it's this super soldier thing or money or power of any kind politically or just influence in general is going to make a person further their own wants. Steve Rogers only ever wanted to do good things,
yeah,
for other people.
Exactly.
So once he was able to do good things for people, the good deeds themselves and the serving his country and everything, that was everything he wanted from that everything. That's, yeah, all he wanted. That's all he ever wanted.
Yeah.
So, you know, this guy, his wants are different. You know,
totally.
He wants different things.
Totally.
So once he gets the ability to not have to worry about certain consequences, now what?
Yeah. So while that conversation is going on between Hoskins and Walker, Sam and Bucky are trying to figure out where Zemo went, trying to figure out where Carly went. And unbeknownst to Sam, Carly's made a phone call to his sister to show him that she's serious. Like, she wants to meet Sam and to show him that she's serious. She kind of mildly threatens his sister.
It's not very mild.
Yeah.
The whole,
basically said she'd come down to visit.
And the entirety of that conversation is just to say, I know where your sister is. I know how to find her. You know, this is what you're messing with.
Yeah.
You know, this is the level I'm willing to go to. So if you're not, you know, you want to come talk to me and you want to have this conversation, whatever, we can talk. But understand what you're putting on the line.
Yeah. So she gives his sister coordinates of where she's going to be. They get in touch with Sam. He gets a message from Carly saying, meet me alone at this place. I got be alone. Mm-hmm. While Carly is there waiting for Sam to get there, they talk. Her other guy shows up. They were hiding the serum at his grandfather's grave, and mm-hmm. he went back to see if there was any serum left. Tells her no, it's all gone. Another guy shows up, saying, "Look, we gotta take care of all these guys. Even Sam. Like, it has to be done, because apparently they talked and." Maybe they saw that Sam was getting, or they overheard that conversation, saw that Sam was maybe trying to get through to her, and maybe was. And then after all that, like, the whatever trust she thought she could have in him was gone. Mm-hmm. And then they get a text from the power broker letting her know that, like, he's still on the hunt for her. Like, he's going to find her, and he's going to end her. He wants his serum back. So Sam ends up showing up with Bucky, because Bucky wasn't going to let him go there by himself.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, obviously.
This time they don't come in civvies.
They're loaded.
They got the gear on.
They're loaded. And she's like, obviously you didn't come alone. He comes up there and like, oh, you want to threaten my sister? This is how this is going to go down? He's, again, trying to talk some sense into her. But at this point, she's like, no, you fucking screwed me over. That's how she's seeing it. You screwed me over. They get an alert that someone's heading their way.
Broke the perimeter.
Yeah, the perimeter's been broken. They knew instantly it's Walker.
didn't Bucky reached out to Carter and asked her to keep an eye on him? Because
no, Sam did.
Sam did.
That's,
okay,
that's when he earlier. I, when only he went got,
I only watched it once. I meant to watch it again, but I've been so busy. But anyways, so she was somebody was watching it.
Yeah, she was monitoring,
and it was like, hey, he's coming, right?
Yeah.
And then he tells her, like, you know, he's coming. It's going to go down. So let's try to fix this shit now. And she's like, nah, ain't none of that happening.
No. And he tells Bucky, like, go stop Walker. As Bucky goes to jump down, she jumps and knocks him into the wall. Sam takes off. Bucky takes off running to try to go stop him. Here comes Carly chasing after him. They go to where Walker and Hoskins are coming in there with guns out, ready to go. Mm-hmm. Fights everywhere. Hoskins disappears.
Fights.
Fights. All kind of fights. Hoskins gets knocked the fuck out. They tie his ass up.
Right.
Walker's going around looking through the building. He's busting through doors. And at that point, you realize, all right, he took the serum because he's knocking shit down. Like, he's kicking dudes into walls and they're flying everywhere.
He also takes a piece of metal and bends it around somebody's hand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know he's taking it. It's obvious. And then I can't remember who asked him, but, like, what did you do?
Sam asked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Sam sees him fighting right. The dude and he bends the. He's like, what the fuck? So Hoskins eventually wakes up.
Yeah.
There's a knife conveniently placed where he can get his hands on it.
Well, nobody searched him.
Yeah, that's true. Which is dumb on their part. Cuts himself loose.
I mean, he's Battle Jack, damn it.
He's Battle Jack. Cuts himself loose, gets down there where the fighting's going on. Carly has entered the fray. They're all fucking fighting. John's getting his ass kicked once again, which goes to show this dude ain't ready to fucking for prime time. So Hoskins makes his way in, kind of jump in to save the day. His ass gets kicked into a column. Dead.
Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica.
Delete.
He hits it.
Oh, when he hit it?
Dude, you knew.
Like, oh, he's dead. Yeah. Shit. Like, he is dead.
He's gone. And everyone stops at this point.
And it was Carly that kicked him.
Yeah, Carly kicked him. But Walker didn't see that. He just saw.
Oh, no. He saw it. He saw it. Because he knew it was her.
Oh, okay. I didn't think he saw it.
He knew it was her, right? You know, because when he chases the guy down. Anyways. But he knew it was her. He saw him get kicked.
Okay.
And that was just like, I was like, oh, girl, yeah. You done fucked up.
You done definitely opened the cage.
Nah, it's no putting it back now.
No, because he runs over there and he's trying to shake him to fucking, like, see if he's all right and realizes he's dead. And you can see the look on his face. Everybody starts taking off. Carly takes off. The other dude takes off.
It's like a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And their mom, like, there was at a house party and then the cops showed up. Yeah.
Gone.
Everybody's in different directions.
Gone.
Gone.
Everybody takes off. Walker stands up. You can see his fucking switch is turned on. He is not a fucking happy camper. And he jumps through a window, superhero pose, on the top of this fucking van. And he sees Carly's guy running off. Yeah. So he chases him down, fucking shield to the back. This dude falls against some steps on this fountain. And he's screaming like, where is she? Where is she? Or whatever. And he's like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And fucking the shield comes up. And you're thinking, no way. No. No, he's going to get, like, Bucky and Sam are going to show up and stop him. And he proceeds to fucking kill this guy. While surrounded by fucking people everywhere with their cell phones out filming this shit. And he is fucking pounding this dude. And you see blood and... You know, he's done. He is dead.
He used the edge.
Yeah. So not the flat part. He used the fucking edge.
He used the edge of the shield. He probably cut that dude in half.
Yeah. Very reminiscent of when Cap and Iron Man were fighting in Civil War, where Cap came down and hit the reactor in the armor to stop Tony.
Right.
Now, he wasn't trying to kill Tony.
Sure.
He knew if he shut down that reactor, the suit's done. Tony's done. He can get out.
Right.
This dude, his intention was to
kill
him.
This guy's not wearing armor.
No.
He's not wearing Iron Man armor. This is a person.
He just watched his best friend die. So somebody's got to pay for that. That dude just happened to be there, and he was able to catch him, and he fucking kills him. He stands back. At this point, Bucky and Sam roll up. They're like, you see on Bucky's face, Bucky just like shakes his head and kind of puts his head down like, what the fuck? Carly's in the distance in the crowd mixed in watching it. She's fucking freaking out because that's her boy who just got killed. This dude puts his shield back on his arm and just kind of looks around with a smug fucking look on his face. And the final fucking frame, the final shot in this episode is him standing there with someone's fucking blood covering that shield.
What a shot.
Dude.
What a visual.
When he started coming down on him, I went, oh, fuck. Like, my eyes got huge. I was like, this is happening.
We had been expecting something from this guy.
But not this.
This is something else, man.
I figured he was just going to show up and, like, he took the serum. He's going to show up and he's going to fight and they're going to realize he's got the serum. And then something was going to happen, and that was going to be like a cliffhanger. Like they were about to fight, and then next episode.
Well, I could have seen him coming in and shooting somebody, but the imagery of him using that shield,
oh, dude,
to kill somebody. Granted, the guy was I guess you would say they're terrorists. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. You know,
no,
he's not innocent, but he's not guilty of anything that would deem that kind of punishment.
Well, I mean, up until they bombed that last facility that they took all the medicine from, they were just stealing stuff. I don't think they had killed anyone until that point where Carly set that explosive that killed those people, and she was like, this is the only thing they understand.
Right.
So, I mean, you can kind of say he's innocent, but at the same time...
I didn't say he's innocent. He's not innocent.
Yeah.
He has been involved. I'm just saying that he hadn't earned a death sentence. Especially a public execution, you know, like especially like that. It was just a mother of an episode. I mean, this one had some serious shit. You know, I've been waiting for it though. I got to tell you, I mean, like, yeah, there's been some good scenes and everything, but I've been waiting for that next level of something. Yeah. You know, so we're past the preamble. We're past, you know, setting it all up. Now it's time to get down.
Yeah,
you know?
Two episodes left. Like,
yeah.
Things have to happen. And Marvel did release a final trailer for the last two episodes today and didn't have a lot of footage from the next few episodes. It was a lot of flashing back to everything that happened. There were a few new scenes that were in it. One of them is Bucky and Sam in a warehouse with John Walker. And it's obviously after all this has happened. And they're like all standing there and Walker says... It's like, you guys don't want to do this. And they show Bucky, and he's kind of looking away, and he looks up at the camera and goes, yeah, I kind of do. And then it just Falcon Winter Soldier. I'm like, oh, God, they're going to fall. I want to see this. So that was episode 4. These last two episodes, I don't even want to think about.
I'm not thinking. I mean, there's so much that we could sit here and talk about this for another hour. You know, we're going to have to find out what's going on with the Power Broker. Either it's going to be a reveal or it's never going to be a reveal. And it's just going to be a tease. And that'll be something that plays out maybe in the next movie or the next series or something like that. Somebody's going to be the new Captain America because that shit's not going to fly. Maybe they retire the shield. You know, there's so many things because that shield, it's tainted.
Yeah, it's
tainted.
But you got to think about this. So that's definitely the original shield because he leaves it, he drops it in Siberia, Tony takes it, but it had been, like, it got jacked up.
It got destroyed by fucking Thanos.
Yeah.
Thanos cut it in half.
That's what I was getting to. Like, it got jacked up during that fight. Tony takes it, and he gives it back to Cap, and then it gets fucking destroyed in
Endgame.
So what shield is that? That old it's man from, Rogers.
It's the shield from In Time.
Yeah. It's the shield of possible realities.
No, I mean, like, he went back in time, so yeah, maybe he, yeah, you know, maybe he snapped a shield up from somebody.
I guess, but I mean, like, if
I don't know. There's too many variables to discuss here, yeah, and all this other shit. But you know. That you can't use that as a symbol. I mean, America has been taking their symbols and covering them in blood and still using them as a symbol for fucking however long
it's we've what been this country has always done.
Whatever we've been around as a country. We're not the only ones.
No.
You know, every country does it. So, you know, there's nothing special or nothing new about that, about taking a national symbol and changing it.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, it's possible that if Sam does take it on and become the next Captain America, you know, maybe he changes the shield, maybe he changes the color, maybe he changes the design. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? But all I do know is Walker cannot keep it.
No, because he's going to be a fugitive on the run, you think, after this, because there's footage of him murdering someone dressed as Captain America or the new Captain America.
Right. But
so the government's not going to be like, we can't sweep this under the fucking rug. It's all over the place.
Yeah, we are talking about the United States government, though.
Also true.
So however much they've invested in him, all they have to do is make some sort of terrorist something or other and whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yes, it's obvious from anybody who was watching, the man was helpless. He had thrown his hands up, he was surrendering, and he killed him in cold blood. That does not mean that it won't get spun in some way so that the government can keep their new super soldier. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sound too cynical, but we are talking about, you know,
yeah,
politics. So, and here we go into politics, yeah, again. Stop. So we need to stop.
Yeah, stop. So we're going to bring this episode to its conclusion. But real quick before we get out of here, in the time since we dropped an episode, the trailer for Loki dropped.
Ooh, y'all, we going to watch and talk about Loki.
That's going to be a very interesting podcast. We are going to do a podcast for Loki. It's going to be a continuation.
We're just going to keep coming. Yeah. We're going to keep speaking.
Yeah. Marvel, Disney Plus, and all they keep putting out material. We're going to do it. And at some point, I want to try to do – so Mike watched the Zack Snyder Justice League cut. We're gonna do an episode on that coming up.
I've got soon. A notebook. No.
I have a thesaurus-sized book full of them.
Yeah, it's a long-ass movie, folks.
Yeah, but the Loki trailer looked a million times more amazing than I thought that series was going to be. I thought it was going to be interesting because of the time travel aspects of it, but them – confirming that him taking the Tesseract fucked up the main timeline, and there's branches everywhere.
Yeah.
That's like multiverse. Awesome. Letting you know all this shit is coming together.
So cool. So cool. And Hiddleston he's the best.
Yeah.
Like, he's just the best Loki. And this isn't the Loki that we all fell in love with.
No.
Who was friendly with Thor.
No, this is
the bad Loki.
This is the bad Loki.
This is the Loki that don't give a fuck.
When Owen was like, you literally just stabbed someone in the back. Owen Wilson's going to be good in this series.
Yeah, he's got a good deadpan.
But visually, it looks fucking it looks amazing.
So good. It's so good.
It looks like... So the budget for WandaVision and this Falcon and Winter Soldier looks good. Like, it's fucking movie quality shit. But this looks like it's on a whole other level. I wonder if
they're spending the money.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not fucking around. They're spending money.
I wonder if they use the studio where they do The Mandalorian with the big screen.
All I know
they need to build a bunch of those.
So WandaVision looked like it looked for a reason.
Yes.
Okay. And Falcon and Winter Soldier looks different in that it's grittier. It's a little bit not
as... It's got some dirt on it.
It's got some dirt. It's not quite sharp and bright and colorful. It's everything is sort of toned down, if you notice. There's not a lot of big popping colors.
No.
Even Captain America's suit is like a dark blue.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Like, everything in this is meant to...
The shield even looks kind of dull.
It does. And I think that's all got to be on purpose.
Yeah.
And it evokes a certain emotional response to it. Loki is a time-traveling space fucking adventure, and they're like, you're going to get Ragnarok-style shit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's all, you know, lights and fucking colors and big shit and fun, and it looks so fun.
It looks so good. I can't wait for that. Was it June 11th?
It's my birthday right around there.
Yeah, we can have a party.
Party! Watch Loki.
I'm gonna bring over some cake. Watch Loki. But that's it for this episode. The whole world is watching episode 4 of The Falcon and Winter Soldier. 2 more episodes left for the podcast. Now, after that, after the podcast is over, after we're done with episode 6, we will do our Zack Snyder Justice League episode.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that. Then there'll be a hiatus until...
We might go and touch on some stuff. Like I said, I watched The New Mutants.
We can talk about that.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
If there's something that y'all want us to talk about, you know, reach out and let us know. Provided it's of the same vein, I don't want to... talk about something else.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about like the Gilmore Girls reunion or some kind of shit like that.
But Lorelai, no, I don't know anything. The only thing I know is that name. That's it. Okay. I swear to God, I never saw any episodes of that show.
You scared me for a second. Yeah. I'd like to do a New Mutants one. I've only seen it once when I went and saw it in the theaters last.
It's on HBO Max now.
Is it okay? I might watch it tonight then. I liked it. I remember liking it more because I kept hearing so much bad stuff about it, and I went and saw it, and I was like, okay, it's not a great movie, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a lot better than everything I've been hearing.
Well, again, it's not terrible.
No,
but.
And you got to think of it as a standalone. Like, it's not connected to the. This was the last Fox X-Men movie they were making. Like, this thing was underway right when the discussions were going on with Disney taking over. That's why this thing was delayed for 4 years or whatever. Yeah. I like the direction they went with it. They kind of like, we're not going to. It's basically going to be set kind of in its own universe, but there's still going to be X-Men references to it. But I'm going to watch it again tonight, and we could do that. But I definitely want to do the Snyder Cut. I'm not going to watch it again. For anyone out there that doesn't want to watch it, watch the 9-minute Honest Trailers clip of it. It tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time.
Yep. All right. But we're going to get out of here. It's time to go. So for Mike, I'm Chuck P. Until next time, this is The Way.